Okay. So I want to do something different this morning. Okay, I need three people to quickly tell me what does finished strong mean to you. Okay, three people that want to tell us what, you can stand up quickly and we'll bring the mic to you. Rianne's going to do it for us. Who else? Come on, guys. Okay, if you don't stand, I'm going to choose you. Jordan? Madeleine. Okay, Rianne, you can start.
Yay. So last year, God gave me a word for this year, in this time last year, and the word for me was restored. And if I look at what God has restored this year, I'm like, man, I'm blown away. I'm so excited. So this is a time for me where I'm like, God, what is the next thing? What is the next word you want to give me? And what's left? What do you still want to restore in this season as we go into the next season? And just the thought I had this morning was, how we finish this year is how we're going to enter next year. So just think about that.
To me, I just think of the scripture that was in the video, like that the end is better than the beginning. So finishing strong means that I'm ending a season even better than how I started it. Yeah.
You see, that's how we finish strong. You have 2 months coming to you. To me, finish strong is normally, I think everybody is like at the end of the year, you just want to, come on, I just want to relax and I don't want to take any more responsibilities. But since I've been at Wavepoint, my mind has shifted into to finish strong is to push in even more and get people into church even more and get them in an emotional state where they are healthy. Especially yesterday when we had prayer, the Lord has shown me that in Christmas time, this is the time where the enemy really attacks people with loneliness and emptiness and with depression. So what the Lord has shown me is that we need to push in and serve these people so that Christmas is not a lonely time for them, and it's not a place where they will commit suicide, because we see the suicide going like this. So instead of me going like this, I want to go like that.
Okay. So the reason I wanted you guys to share is because this is not the first time that we're talking about finishing strong. And you know that this is something that, as Wavepoint, we speak about every year because it's something that we firmly believe in. Amen. So I'm sure that almost all of us have watched the Comrades Marathon, and I've used this analogy before. But as a teenager, I recall every year sitting and watching the people coming in to complete the race in the last few minutes. Does everyone remember that? I mean, it's gut-wrenching when people have run the whole day and they're just not going to make the end. But people are being carried over the line. People are falling over the line. And some are even crawling it to make it over in time. They finished the race. Maybe not all of them in the best shape, but they finished. And we could determine that they didn't finish strong, but I've come to define finishing strong as completing what I started, giving my all, and finishing in excellence. Excellence is not perfection. It's a heart posture and doing the best with what I have in front of me. So I would say they finished strong. Finishing strong in a biblical context often refers to completing one's life or mission with faithfulness and commitment to God, despite challenges or obstacles. It emphasizes perseverance, maintaining one's faith, and fulfilling one's purpose until the very end. So key biblical examples include, we've got Paul's reflection in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. Please write these scriptures down, because you guys need to go home and you need to work this series with us, okay? This is not I'm preaching at you and you're going home and keeping your arms folded. This is we're working this series together. So 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, Paul says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This reflects his dedication to his mission and faith until his final moments. Running the race in Hebrews 12 verse 1 encourages believers to run with endurance the race that is set before us, suggesting that perseverance in faith is crucial. And faithful servants, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30 illustrates the importance of being faithful stewards of what God has given, leading to us being commended, or those being commended, for those who finish their tasks well. You got that? Okay, so why do we believe in finishing strong? Overall, finishing strong means remaining steadfast in faith and purpose, striving to honor God in all aspects of life until the very end. And most importantly, I firmly believe that how we exit one season determines how we enter the next. We always encourage in our house our children to finish strong. Both of my children are in seasons of wrapping up certain things and stepping into very new things. And with most of us, one can get over what you're currently busy with and you can want to finish it half-heartedly. My daughter's in the middle of grade 11 exams. She knows that grade 11 exams count a lot, like if she wants to go to university. But I've had to find myself in the last 2 weeks encouraging her to finish strong. It's been one of her best academic years, but the tiredness has crept in. Her social calendar has overwhelmed her, her everything else, and she's in a state of just wanting to get through. Oh, Mom, but if I just pass. No, that's not finishing strong. So in the Janssen household, in Wave Point Church, our encouragement always is that we finish strong. So here we are, 2 months to completing Journey 24. Can you believe that? I think we can all agree that this year has gone very, very fast. Like in my house, how can we possibly be debating what colors the Christmas tree should be decorated again? Saying that, I think 2024 has been a brutal year for many. I want to encourage you to lean back in your chair. Lean back in your chair, okay? Kick off your shoes if you must. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. No one's supposed to be looking at me, Amy. Kirsten, close your eyes. And breathe out. Sigh if you must. And listen to me for just a moment. I know that hearing that we're beginning a sermon series on Finish Strong might have evoked feelings of discouragement. Like how, Natalie, how do I complete this year strong when I feel I'm hanging on by a thread? Well, that is just the thing. Some of us may be crawling over the finish line at the end of this year. Some of us may need to be carried over. Leandri. But the point is, finishing strong is more of a heart posture. It's more of a decision to complete the year, steadfast in our faith and purpose, honoring God in all that we do. We are given the gift of grace to finish strong through Jesus Christ. There is no endeavor, twist, or turn of life that Jesus isn't with us to equip and sustain us. You can open your eyes. So our scripture for this series is Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8, and that is, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. So as part of our Finish Strong series, I want to ask you the famous Wave Point question, and that is, how's your heart? If we're going to finish the year strong, we're going to need to make sure that our hearts are clean, our hearts are on fire for Him, and that we are pursuing purity and holiness. In the busyness of life, and we can all attest to that, and when life is just laughing and stuff is happening, it's so easy for things to pop up and pollute our spring of life. In Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So I want to look at some potential heart conditions that I know I've had to go through in 2024, and I know that many of you have had to as well. So number one, we're going to look at disappointment. I know that many of us have been disappointed in some shape or form this year. Maybe we have lost a loved one. Maybe we are still waiting for a job. Maybe we are still trusting for a breakthrough. So how should we, as believers in Christ, handle the disappointments that hurt our hearts and make our souls weary? You can weep. God created us with emotions. To deny them is to deny our humanity. Jesus wept over the city that rejected him. Jerusalem, this is in Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Another example in scripture, Jesus wept. This is a story in John 11, and if you haven't read it, I want to encourage you to. But Jesus, it's around the death of one of his good friends, and in this moment where he knows that his friend is dead, and he's not yet with his friend, he stops his people from going back. And it says in John 11 that before we go to Lazarus, he's going to fall asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. So Jesus announces to his disciples, we're going to go see Lazarus and he's going to be asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. And then he arrives on the scene and Martha greets him and she's mad. She's angry and she lets him know it. Because if you would have been here, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. And it's her faith that makes her angry. She's ticked, why weren't you here? If you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And he comforts her. He doesn't scold her, he doesn't judge her, and he says, listen, I'm the resurrection, and he gives her hope. So in the moment, Jesus already knew he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he still stopped to be present with Martha in her emotions, which tells me that emotions are important to Jesus. So Jesus experienced many of the same emotions we experience. I think there's countless portions of scripture. Jesus wept. Jesus got angry. Jesus overturned tables, right? And Isaiah describes him not as a distant God who is far removed from our pain, but as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's Isaiah 53, verse 3. So we can trust him with our disappointments. We can trust him with our hurt. But Jesus isn't only a confident and a soft shoulder upon which we can cry. He's our example for how to handle our disappointment. Scripture describes how after he wept over Jerusalem, he set his face toward the cross and did what God called him to do. So there may be many tears before the action, but they're not a substitute for it. You can also evaluate your expectations. So show your emotion, weep, and now evaluate your expectations. When I'm honest with myself, I often discover I feel disappointed because I have set unrealistic expectations. If there's something that I've had to grow in this year, it's expectations. Do I assume I'll do everything perfectly the first time or expect my husband or friends to meet all my emotional needs? Do I expect my children never to disobey or imagine, act childishly or fail to behave the way I want them to? Do I assume the Christian life will be free from hardship or pain? Jesus was frank with his disciples, and his words were meant for us as well. You will have suffering in this world. John 16:33. Loving God doesn't shield us from trials. In some ways, it attracts them. Our dual citizenship in this world. And the next causes us to long for perfection of heaven, while struggling through on sin-scarred earth. We know we are created for more, for better, for perfect, but just not yet. So the Apostle Paul described our spiritual tug of war with these words. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. That's in Philippians 1:23-24. God's word and his spirit can help us evaluate whether our hopes are unrealistic or naive. And it's important, guys, that we be real with our expectations when we experience disappointment. I've sat with a few people this year, and they've experienced great disappointment. And then their hearts get really messed up when they have an expectation of how people should be treating them in that situation. And we need to reevaluate our expectations, because I think a lot of the time, if we reevaluated our expectations with the Lord, we would see that we're getting bent out of shape because our expectations are actually unrealistic. not the person that we're expecting something from. They're not letting us down. We're just expecting things that are not actually humanly possible. Amen? Thank you, Jordan. So, number three, bring your disappointments to God. During some of the darkest times of my life, when I was disappointed with myself, others, or God, I have found it hard to pray. Please don't tell me I'm the only one. Instead of running toward God, I ran away from him. But when I bring my disappointments to God, I position myself to receive his comfort. Sharing my hurts in prayer, then searching God's word for his response. That's important. We need to go to the word for his response. Opens communication between me and the one who knows my heart better than I do. King David models this for us throughout the Psalms. In Psalm 42, he beautifully demonstrated how we can speak truth to our soul, even from the depths of our discouragement. And number four, take comfort in God's promises. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know that. He'll be our advocate, our refuge, and our strong tower. He'll comfort and quiet us, surround us with his love, and one day he'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes. You have to surrender your desires and trust him. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed what one author called the prayer of relinquishment. And he begged God to allow the cup of suffering to pass from him. He chose to trust God and surrender his will to the Father. For me, this type of prayer sounds something like this. Lord, you know what I hoped would happen in this situation or relationship. As best I can tell, my desires honored you. But I don't know everything you know. I acknowledge that your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts higher than my thoughts. That's Isaiah 55 verses 9. I also know that you use the most unlikely things to accomplish the most beautiful ends. Help me to trust you for my good and your glory. That's true surrender. Amen. So one day, Jesus will triumph over death, hell, and the grave. He'll wipe the disappointed tears from our faces one last time and show us how our momentarily light affliction produced for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. That's a whole lot of big English words. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Until then, disappointment will be part of our human experience. So let's just acknowledge that as truth. And when we encounter it, it's okay to weep. With God's help, we can prayerfully examine our expectations, take comfort in God's promises, and bring our desires to him and surrender to his will. So in our own strength, guys, this is impossible. But with God's help, we can do it. So each new disappointment brings another opportunity to trust him. When we do, he comforts our hearts and grows our faith. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. That's John 16:33. So that's one heart condition that maybe we need to work through as we're finishing this year strong. And number two is unforgiveness. Many people ruin their health and their lives by taking the poison of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. Matthew 18:23-35 tells us that if we do not forgive people, we get turned over to the torturers. If you have a problem in this area or you have ever had one, I'm sure you can bear witness with what I'm saying. It's torture to have hateful thoughts toward another person rolling around inside your head and heart. So who are you helping most when you forgive the person who hurt you? You are helping yourself more than you are helping the other person. I always saw forgiving people who hurt me as being really hard. It seemed so unfair for them to receive forgiveness when they had hurt me. I got pain and they got freedom without them having to pay for the pain they caused. Now I realize that I'm helping myself when I choose to forgive. I'm happier and I feel better physically when I'm not filled with the poison of unforgiveness. I'm also helping the other person by releasing them so God can do what only he can do. If I'm in the way, trying to take revenge or take control of the situation myself, God has no obligation to deal with the situation. However, if we trust God, we choose to forgive, because forgiveness is a choice, he will take care of the rest. See, the act of forgiving is our seed of obedience to his word. Once we've sown our seed, he is faithful to bring a harvest of blessing to us one way or another. In Matthew 11, 22 to 26, clearly teaches us that unforgiveness hinders our faith from working. The Father can't forgive our sins if we don't forgive other people, period. We reap what we sow. Sow mercy, you'll reap mercy. Sow judgment, and you'll reap judgment. So do yourself a favor and forgive. Your fellowship with God flows freely when you're willing to forgive, but it gets blocked by unforgiveness. I'm sure everyone's experienced that at some point in your life. Forgiveness also keeps Satan from getting an advantage over us, because unforgiveness gives him access to our lives. You can go read that in 2 Corinthians 2, 10 to 11. And Ephesians 4, 26 to 27 tells us not to let the sun go down in our anger and give the devil any such foothold or opportunity. Remember that the devil must have a foothold before he can get a stronghold. So do not help him. Do not give him access. Be quick to forgive. I want to share a quick story. There's somebody quite close to me in my family was going through a situation of infidelity that had just been discovered in their marriage. And I was speaking to them on the phone one night, and this person was weeping. And I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say anymore. Like, I don't know how to help this person. And the Holy Spirit gave me these words: your forgiveness does not excuse what they've done. So I sometimes feel we hold on to the unforgiveness because we want those people to feel. But the reality is it does more damage to us than it does to them. And it doesn't excuse what they did. Your wife cheating on you is not excused because you forgive her, right? But we need to let go, and God needs to handle the rest. Amen? So with forgiveness, we need to decide. You will never forgive if you wait until you feel like it. So choose to obey God and steadfastly resist the devil in his attempts to poison you with bitter thoughts. Make a quality decision to forgive, and God will heal your wounded emotions in due time. That's Matthew 6, 12 to 14. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. You cannot forgive without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's too hard to do on our own. If you're truly willing, God will enable you, but you must humble yourself and cry out to him for help. In John 20, 22 to 23, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." His next instruction was about forgiving people. Ask God to breathe the Holy Spirit on you so you can forgive those who've hurt you. And we have to obey. The word tells us several things we're to do concerning forgiving our enemies. We have to pray for our enemies and those who abuse and misuse you. Pray for their happiness and welfare. Guys, there's some restaurant owners in town. When I drive past them, I still have to bless them. Restaurant owners. I have to still bless them. As much as I want to, like, I want a bull bar in my car and I want to do this, I have to bless them. Amen? We have to, because that's what the Bible says. Bless those who curse you. And as you pray, God can give them revelation that will bring them out of deception. They may not even be aware that they hurt you, or maybe they're aware, but they're so self-centered that they don't care. Either way, they need revelation. And we have to bless, and we do not curse them. Romans 12, 14. In the Greek, to bless means to speak well of, and to curse means to speak evil of. You can't walk in forgiveness and be a gossip. Dun, 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 dun. I cringe when I sit in some restaurants in Jeffreys Bay. Because do we know how loud we talk? You can hear people's conversation. Guys, gossip. We are cursing people when we're speaking about them. And just by the way, when you're talking in a restaurant about your pastor, you're cursing. Stop it. Because you don't want people to be gossiping about you and cursing you. Okay, this is scriptural, that when we gossip, we're cursing people. Don't do it. You don't want it to be done to you. Stop gossiping. And listen, this thing of, well, I think I just need to tell Jordan because she needs to know. If she has got no solution to the issue, she doesn't need to know. Amen? So get that itchy thing to gossip and da-da-da-da-da with people. Let's finish strong. Stop gossiping. We all are guilty of it. All of us, right? Stop it. Stop it. I'm serious, guys. We need to stop it. We are grown, mature adults. We are children of God. Stop it. Stop it. If this is the only thing you hear today, stop it. Don't gossip. It's horrible. And you don't know what you're doing in the spiritual realm. Stop it. Okay, enough. You can't walk in forgiveness and be a gossip. You must stop repeating the offense. You can't get over it if you continue to talk about it. Proverbs 17 verse 9 says that he who covers an offense seeks love. Proverbs 17 verse 9, he who covers an offense seeks love. So these are only two areas that the garden of our hearts could need some tending. It's important that we take stock, we examine how our hearts are doing. If there is one thing that will limit us from finishing this year strong, is our heart condition. And once we have identified areas that we need, that need some work, let's be quick to act. Do not end this year carrying over the sting of disappointment and any unforgiveness. I want to encourage you, church, as we're going through this series, that you are intentional. I always speak about intentionality. It's easy to sit in church, go home, I've done my duty. They're not going to phone me and ask me where I was. That's not why you come to church. So take your notes, get into the word, seek the Lord about things in your heart that need to be wrapped up, dealt with, prayed through. If there's forgiveness. This morning, I got up. I've been preparing my message for a week. This morning I get up and the Holy Spirit reminds me there's somebody that I need to forgive. So we constantly have to be in a state where we are open to the Holy Spirit showing us what we need to deal with. But let it go. Let it go. Be intentional about not carrying over your disappointments into 2025. We've all been disappointed in some shape or form. And I don't want to undermine your disappointments in any way. But we can take it to the Lord and allow him to bring the healing and then forgive. Amen? Forgive. So our prayer team is going to be up here at the end of the service. And if there's anything specific that you feel I'm not going to manage to do this on my own and you need us to pray with you, we'll pray with you before you go home. But I want to encourage you to take this finish strong series seriously. And don't just let it be. There's so many people that have got testimonies of how they locked in last year and it set them up to enter the new year well. Let's all do that. Let's all have a testimony next year how we were intentional about finishing this year strong and how it set us and catapulted us into the new year. Amen.